President Trump is on his way to Asia for a trip that'll last nearly 2 weeks. He'll go to Japan and South Korea and then China. That's where we find NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Beijing. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Jeremy.
And Trump's visit comes just after the Chinese President Xi Jinping got a power boost. He got a second five-year term at a recent Communist Party Congress. He said that China wanted to take center stage in the world. What might all of that mean for Trump's visit?
Well, you know, the Party Congress is the political event of the year, and there is a lot of feeling here that China has to get its domestic political agenda in order first before it deals with foreign policy. So the timing on this Trump visit was really crucial. And now that Xi has cemented his position as the strongest leader in decades, we could see him going into this summit with a lot more confidence. During the Party Congress, you know, Xi Jinping suggested in his speeches that China is going to be more proactive in global governance and also in protecting what it considers its rights and interests, its national security. And it looks like it's probably going to do a lot more proposing of its own policies and institutions, such as the new Silk Road plan to link Europe and Asia, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank to fund these sort of projects, and a trade grouping of its own called the Regional Economic Comprehensive Partnership. So while not everyone may like these plans and the fact that China is driving them, since the U.S. pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, the main trade deal in the region, a lot of people in this region just feel like, well, hey, at least China is suggesting some solutions for the region.
Does that new confidence in Beijing also mean it's going to be more difficult for President Trump to get any concessions on trade from China?
The Chinese feel that they've already done a lot on trade, but I think they also have more to offer. And we got a hint of this week. Xi Jinping met with some top foreign CEOs, including Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Apple's Tim Cook, and others. And what he told them is that China is going to open up even further to the world and to foreign investment. But we'll have to see about that. It's important to remember now, you know, that China does not need as much foreign investment as it used to. China is now investing more than the U.S., and the U.S. invests in China. So it's getting pickier about what it takes. It only wants the things that give it access to good technologies, that don't threaten its environment. And also, you know, China has promised that it's going to steer its economy in a more market-oriented direction. But the jury's still out on that. There are a lot of areas in which it has not delivered on this. And in many ways, the Chinese economy is still very much state-directed, dependent on injections of, state credit for it to grow. And the Chinese government is still very involved in picking economic winners and losers.
Is President Trump likely to address human rights on his visit to China?
You know, rights groups are very vocal right now in calling on President Trump to raise these issues, such as the issue of Liu Xia, who is the widow of the late Nobel Peace Prize laureate Liu Xiaobo, who died in a hospital this year under police custody. But it does not look like the issue, the human rights issue, is going to get a lot of weight on this visit. Trump administration officials have said that President Trump likes to keep this issue out of the public eye. He likes to conduct this sort of diplomacy very quietly, and so far it generally has.
What do the Chinese people think of President Trump at this point?
Chinese analysts I've spoken to on this issue believe that their government has read Trump pretty accurately and handled the relationship in a way that minimizes risk. When Trump took office, they felt that he threatened to sort of upend the relationship. He had threatened to upgrade relations with Taiwan as a way of pressuring Beijing to make trade concessions. But China called his bluff on this and he backed down. And the way they seem to have approached Trump is to give him face, as they say, to make him look good. They've limited some criticism of Trump in the domestic Chinese press. They handed him some quick deliverables on trade, such as allowing in U.S. beef imports. Of course, they had a lot of FaceTime, including President Xi's visit to Mar-a-Lago in Florida earlier this year. China had a bit of trouble at the beginning figuring out just who was in charge in the Trump administration, who spoke for Trump, who could relay their messages to him. And for a while, they were working with Jared Kushner, a sort of back channel to the White House. Mm. Since then, you know, Trump and Xi have developed this personal chemistry, and that Kushner channel doesn't seem quite as important. On the whole, Chinese people feel that Trump is pragmatic and he's not so ideological, not so value-centered as they feared Hillary Clinton might be if she was elected president.
That's NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Beijing as President Trump embarks on his trip to Asia. Anthony, thank you.
You're welcome, Jeremy.